Kommt nun der heilige Perek.
Perek Shlishi Kelayim Aruga. Aruga Shishisha al Shisha Tfachim. Zorim Betocha Chamisha Zeonim. Starting with an Aruga that is 6 by 6 Tfachim. Even though we said normally along a single row, we don't plant different types of vegetables. However, as we saw, it was possible to work out Rosh Torahs even in our long row. Remember, we had the case of the 25 in each row. It was 100 amos long. But here we have a special halacha, which we're matching up on Pesukim, actually, in the Gemara, that if you start off an aruga that is a square, then you can plant in that aruga 5 different types of seeds. 4 on the 4 sides of the aruga, and 1 in the middle. Now the salient issues over here are the mokom yiniko or avoda of a yerek, which is 1.5 tefachim, and the question of whether a rosh tor is sufficient to be mafsik by a yerek. There's many different approaches with 4 major approaches which we'll discuss. But essentially, if you're going to be mocked here on not utilizing a rosh tor, and you're stuck with the shear of yinika of 1.5 tefachim, so then what you need to do in the shisha al shisha is to be mocked each thing, the surface, its area of 1.5. So the surface, its area of 1.5, the maximum that you can be marked over here is 3. And Tosfos explains that you need to have each one not mixed. In other words, the mokum of the avoda, the yerek of each yerek, should not be mixed one yerek with the other. According to Tosfos, 1.5 with the other, and 1.5 to the other. Now you'll say, but what about the yerek itself? Obviously it takes up some space. Right? So even in a row of shisha, you shouldn't be able to plant more than 2. And here we're saying there's going to be 1 in the middle and 1 on either side. So Tosfos explains that the shear includes the vegetable itself. Whereas when we say the mokum, the yinika is 1.5, it means together with the actual mokum azera, it's 1.5. And the other way to approach this whole issue is to say that I only need to be marked for 1.5. That's the mokum of yinika of the yerek, and as long as I don't have another yerek within the area of the other one's yunika of 1.5, it's okay.
What about
it's unique, it could be mixed, but as long as it isn't in the place, and that gives us more room to play around with. And the third approach is to say we couldn't care less about the mokum of yunika because we deal with the rosh tor. If we make a rosh tor, we have no problem. Now, these elements are addressed in the following picture. You can see the different approaches. The ultimate Qumrah approach is Rashi's approach, which has one seed in the middle and one row of seeds around the edges. Okay?
The corners are
touching, but they're not, you don't go, they don't mix. Yeah. So over here, he has, including this, he has basically on each side 3. So everything would be 3 from each other unless it approaches it as a rosh tor. Okay? An additional issue that's raised over here is if you hold that you can't be finished a surface of on a rosh tor when it's a single seed, so then you'd have to also be marked on a diagonal 3 tefachim from the things that are across. Queen, do you want to come and watch this? Great. So then you'd have to take Rashi's approach plus allow not a rosh tor at the corner, but a diagonal 3 tefachim at the corner. So this way every min is meruchik, 3 tefachim from every other min. This is the most common approach going on. Now, the other approach would be that you need to have, you can be framed on a rosh tor, and what you do is you need only to have 1.5 tefachim, which is the shear of the Yamika. So if you look at this, what you have over here is essentially a effective use of the space while maintaining a distance of 1.5 tefachim from everything. A single thing in the middle, which is 1.5 tefachim removed from the use of the seeds on the side. Plus, since I've made it, I'm not relying on Rosh Tor over here. But I'm making the shape of the Rosh Tor at the end to get in the most effective use of my area. So this way I have 1.5 tefachim between everything. Right. This is the Rashi's approach. And there's also other, if I have, which is using Rashi?
That is
identical to that. If you think it's identical, that's fine. What you could call identical.
If you were to extract this and that and go outward, exactly. If you look at each of those little things on here and take it back, and you have that. And the tree is just straight down and the angles on the side. It's the exact same thing.
I don't know what you're saying, but if you're happy with it, it's fine. Yeah, so this is not a shot. This is a caution of somebody else. This is a Rambam shot. The Rambam shot is a clue. But according to the Rambam, this entire issue is built around one issue, Rosh Tor. And therefore, as long as the sides approach the other side of the Rosh Tor, and as long as the middle approaches each side of the Rosh Tor, you make it into a diamond shape. You have no problem. So that even though everything is touching, it's only touching as a Rosh Tor. You don't have to be marfik at all. So this way I have the most effective use of the space available. Now you're kind of, why not, if you're going to use a Rosh Tor, why not go all the way and have the 9 different views? Mm-hmm. Why not do it this way? But over here you see you have a problem. Because the edges of this to this is not as a Rosh Tor. Mm-hmm. And it's too close. If you put in 9, you have less than 1.5 between these. But even though you have the edges of the adjoining squares, but the across squares, you don't have a shear of 1.5. And you don't have a Rosh Tor. So there would be no way to split up the space of a diamond shape and still have your 1.5 between every one to get in more than 6. These are the main approach. Now, if in addition to the actual aruga, you had a raised area around it, like we have it a sandbox, except that the area of the edge of the sandbox is also made out of earth as opposed to wood. So imagine a sandbox shape with an edge on it where you dug out the earth, and now the sandbox essentially is underneath, and you have a nice edge you can sit on. So now that gvul itself allows you, once it's a tefa high, allows you zorim betochah shlosha asar. Now you can plant a total of 13 different kinds of meaning, because you can plant shlosha al kol govel v'govel yachad v'emsa. You also have the advantage over here. You have your three. This would be the simplest approach. This is the Rosh's approach. It's a very inelegant approach, because the way that he has it, since again, characteristically, he's not relying on Rosh Tor in a small area, he can't have an equal size, because remember, according to the Rosh, you have to be marked for 1.5 tefachim here. If you have to mark 1.5 tefachim, then you don't have enough room to have a tefach and a tefach space. So strangely enough, some of these places that are planted are only 3/4 of a tefach. So assuming that if what you have here on each row is 4, which is actually 3, in other words, 3 here, 3 here, 3 here, and 3 here. It's 4 because we're including one of the other one in each one. Right? So then, in order to do this and to still be marked at 1.5 tefachim between each one, you can't have a full 4 on each level that are 4 tefachim. So you're fine. You'll alternate it with a 3/4 tefach. However, the Rambam's approach, being centered on base 4, is much much more elegant. Because there what you do is, on the contrary, leave the corners blank. If you leave the corners blank, then what happens is you get a roche tour on all corners. And then each one is indeed a full tapa, and you get all of the edges over here. You get three on each side. Okay? And then you have your min in the middle as well. Okay, and that way you're utilizing roche tour. Now we'll see how many things we can fit in the middle in a moment. But first, we're talking about the gvul over here, which is known as the govel. Okay, so if you have shlosha, all govel the govel. So that allows you to have now on the govel itself, you can have these are different meanings. Remember, we were talking about you could have 12 different meanings, and allowing for tefachu mefta between every one, and you then have the emsa, which is one min of five tefachim, and we'll see why can't we just fit in more min in the middle. We are going to ask this later on. So now what you have is, if what we're assuming is, you're going to allow a chatzi tefach on the edge of each side of your middle min, plus you have the tefach that's going up on the gohel, which gives you a tefach of the mefta, and therefore you're being marking the tefach of mefta from the middle min. But by being marking the tefach of mefta from the middle min, you've made the aruga less than shisha or shisha, in order to allow you to plant on top of the gohel. To an aruga less than shisha or shisha, you're not allowed to mix various minim. So therefore, you're stuck in the middle with one min in order to provide the one and a half gvul, which is one up and one half across, into the aruga itself. And there you're left with one in the middle. But anything, if you have less than shisha or shisha, even though you're right, you could certainly work out ways to fit in minim with a rosh tor and so on. But that is considered by definition to be kilayim. Why? Because it looks like iruvia. In other words, the minimal shear that allows the eye to capture the distinction between the different minim based on the pattern that you're creating is an aruga of shisha or shisha. So then that's the halacha kavua, whether they're not a psukim, whether it's halacha lashmi tinai, this is the shear. So we learn it out of the luchai. So it says, that it's learned out of the Lukas, we find the same Russian. The Lukas was Shisha or Shisha.
So these squares we're looking at, they are 6 by 6?
Which one? The inside, not the outside. The inside area, starting from the white.
Including the white?
The white plus the brown that you're pointing to is all the inside of Shisha or Shisha, and what's outside is the Govel. Okay, so that gives us basically 13. That's what we're left with. And three on each side, which look like four. Three on each side and one in the middle. So four times three is 12, and one in the middle gives you 13. And that's the passion. Now, lo yita, lo shalefet betocha gavel, mipnei shehu mimalei. However, things that tend to have very large leaves and spread, that should not be put on the govel. But barring that caveat, everything should be okay. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, shisha be'emsa. Rabbi Yehuda says, he learns out, we'll see later on, he argues on how we learn out the pasuk. He learns that you're allowed to have 6 minyan in an aruga, 6 by 6. So one approach to this is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you don't have to be marked a full tefach v'metzah, you only have to be marked a tefach. And therefore, according to him, even with the govel, if this is what he's referring to, we'll see that's not obvious, but even on the govel, you would still be able to have 6 minim inside of your area over here, because you don't need that half. Because according to him, the tefach itself is sufficient to be marked. So the tefach is sufficient, you can bring your aruga all the way to the edge of the govel, because you have the height of one tefach of the govel. So that means that the minim on the govel, which are already 12, have a hetzik of a full tefa down to the bottom of the aruga. Now you're left with an aruga shisha shisha. According to him, you should be able to put in an additional shisha, meaning in the middle of the aruga. And so, according to him, you're getting much more. That's how the Rosh essentially learned. Let's take a look at a picture of the way he learned. Yes, this would be the Rosh's approach. Since according to Rabbi Yehuda, you only need a tefach in between, not a tefach and back. So you start off your aruga shisha shisha like this. So having your aruga shisha shisha with the govel that the tefach high means that you maintain the same aruga by adding the govel here. So now you get all of the minun on top of the govel. You have your same 12. Of course, you still have your 6 in the aruga because you don't need to take off anything from the aruga. Mm-hmm. You should be allowed 18 different minions, according to him, in a sandbox shape. That's one approach. The other approach is that this is the Rambam, again, using his Rosh Tor. According to the Rambam, it's not a difference in whether it's 1 tefach or 1.5. It's a difference in what the shear is going to be, what it looks like your aruga. All that Rabbi Yehuda is saying is that you can use a Rosh Tor effect to make a diamond effect, and it's not called a Rosh Tor, that's all he's saying. So if you put in 6 diamonds straight across, without this one in the middle or anything like that, 6 diamonds straight across is also all Rosh Tor. Our problem is that normally that's our shear of Eruvia. That's not Eruvia. Okay, you know, again, the same idea would be in the Govel. Would also give us now our full shear of 18 Eruvia. We just simply put the govel around the aruga shisha shisha, according to the Ram. Says the Gemara, now the place where we see this in the Torah is that we learn it out of Yirmiyahu. It says over here, ke'eretz patitiv chauch, or genaz, or eretz atzniah. So we dash the word here, the gina has 0L. And that means that mute zayim shnai. There must be that we're able to put in a yina. We are allowed to put 2 different zrayim. Now you ask yourself, how is it China for there to be in a yina 2 different zrayim? Since Tosfos learned, we learn out the lashon of tor, which is found by gina and torei zahav, which refers to the remes of the lukos, the lukos of the shisha of shisha, and it's all. Oh, Joshua. But in any event, if we take for granted that a gina is 6 by 6, it's a minimum share of a gina. It's not just referring to two vegetables, it's referring to a garden. And when you can plant in a garden 2 vegetables, how is that possible? There's only one explanation. Rosh Tor. Because otherwise it's clearly Kelayim. So it's what is the Torah saying? The Torah is saying that in a patch, you could have 2 triangles that meet each other on the top, and that would not be considered to be kilayim within that area. Once I know that, so miyud zroim shnayim, if that's the case, points out Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, the way to do this is to recognize that mishnayim atalomed arba, given that you can plant 2, you now know that you can plant 4. Because mashnayim not noting the tchilat shishal meitar v'olech, havar v'ata noting the tchilat shishal meitar v'olech. There's actually no difference between them. In other words, because what you're doing is you're going to 6 tefachim away, which is the shear that you have, right? It's given to you in a gina. And you're now being pochet v'olech, meaning you're shaping it in the shape of a triangle, coming to a point. So there's no reason why you can't do that from all 4 corners and have the same effect. The Torah is telling you that shaping things in that fashion, as long as it starts off Meruch HaShisha, is okay. So do it from all 4 corners. In other words, all he's saying is, given this pattern, you can derive this pattern. Because you're going to have a shear of Yanika between them anyway. So what do you care?
Why is it you're going to have a shear of Yanika between them?
Which case? Your nature is unique and eclipsed by definition, and the Rosh Torah
you end up with a much larger rev up in between when you go, even if it's a flat edge that it's going into, you'll end up with a 45 square.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
The angle of space, this gap, is large. You have a 90 degree angle here. Mm-hmm. You have a very small gap.
So what? But the idea is that you're being, that's what he's saying. As long as you're maintaining your distance at the beginning, you can continue to come to a point, you're maintaining your distance at the beginning. That's all that bothers us. That's what he's showing you. As long as you have 1.5 at the beginning, which is the shared unique, huh? So if that's the case, why can't you do the same thing with 2? Given 2, I already know 4. If I already know 4, I have this propeller-like shape over here, right? Once I have that, what's my problem with having the one in the middle continue to be Gemara? Because if this is the case, you're telling me there's not one tiny hole in the middle that wasn't covered with the other vegetable. If I'm allowed to have a shiur in which things are touching each other anyway, and I'm relying on the Rosh Torah, so I'll put something else in the middle. It's clearly not part of any of these.
But if they're touching, there's no room in the middle.
Yeah, but come on. I mean, let's be serious. When they're touching, there's always room. You're talking about vegetables over here. What are we talking about, atoms? The same thing is room. But when that's room, we're saying the theory is you'll fit one in the middle. Mm-hmm. So, you have to show some saying it's not shy. There shouldn't be one little hole. You can put a seed in the middle. We talk about them, Saeed. Therefore, just from that word, we know enough. This is Yodavah. What do you mean we know enough? I mean, it's obvious something's wrong here because this is not the pattern that anybody would give in the Mishnah of Aruga. I mean, if this was the Makar of the Leman of Aruga, then that would be the pattern of the Aruga that we would be forced to say, no? Mm-hmm. Says Rabbi Yonah, this just doesn't make sense because the Avodah Pogea of Avodah, the Inmin Pogea the Kaver of Lechosha, you cannot derive from the din of a Rosh Torah, other than that the area that would normally be necessary for the Avodah of the Yerek is allowed to touch the Avodah of the other one, and that's not a problem. However, you're ignoring our very important idea of Havush. Remember that all along, Yerushalmi has taken for granted that there's a concept of compressing a field, right? In Chovesh a field. Your Chovesh a field, even to the extent that if you have a fence around an area, that area becomes a field because you were Chovesh it. And therefore, by definition, it can only have 1 min in it. But you can also, as you saw early on, like the sheet of Rabbi Shimon about throwing 3 different types of seeds, they can also be Chovesh a field by drawing in themselves. So what you're not telling me, says Rabbi Yonah, is how you could possibly derive from a case of Rosh Tor, which now completely surround and therefore are Chovesh, that middle seed, that putative middle seed, how you could ever have a middle seed. Because they have now defined the middle area, including themselves, with the seed. How could you do that? Bishleimeth, we're saying there is no middle area. Like you were saying, Savajash. There's no middle area. What about looking at the other little faces? That's not the point. They're coming together. Each one is a separate field. Fine. But you're coming to tell me, no. But there's also space in the middle. What's the space in the middle? The space in the middle is defined by the things that create the space. So then it's mixed with those things. And then how could you have something in the middle? A monotrope. It just doesn't make any sense, as again. Therefore, there's got to be another explanation. What's the other explanation? Says Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, you know, you're not a learned, we're not from the Pasuk. Not a derivation, given 2, we know 4, given 4, we know 5. Actually, we're in the diet in the very word, Zeru Eha. Because, look, it could have said Zera. Right? Yina Zera. But the Gina now brings out its Zera. It is the Gina Zera Matzmiya. That's all it needed to say. Then it changes it to say Zar'el. And then it changes it to there's different Purushim over here. We could say it goes from Zera to Zar'a to Zar'eha to Zeru'eha. And therefore we have now a remez of all of these Tosafot. and plus the Russian robin at the end. So we get five. Others learn that because of the change, and this is what the Mashmaros is here in this area, because of the unnecessary change in the word, we count the number of osios in the word. And this is clearly in Yerushalmi, this is what it's referring to. So we have five letters in the word Zeru'eha. Those five letters are meramed each one to a different Zera. No. It's written without a verb, it's fine. The Chagai owner, so he's saying, according to Rabbi Shimon Levi, the way it's written here, is with a vav. Rabbi Yehuda is indeed, we saw before Rabbi Yehuda 6, Rabbi Yehuda held that it was written with a vav. So therefore he says, Shisha, Zera, Za'a, and Zeru'el, they should have a vav in it. This one has, is the one that has the vav. As Rabbi Chagai says, no, Za'el, hey, what do you get? What's wrong with you? It's weird. It's read Zeru'el, it's written Za'el without the vav, which gives you five. And by the way, I have a general rule in how I deal with Nevi'im. Call hand on a mashkaf, lavaran in marketplace. If I ever see an extra vav, I simply erase it. It doesn't belong there. You don't find Kriv Malay in Nach. Yeah, that's a very easy approach as far as I'm concerned. Ishtaimit Ravuna Saf and Sidranap. Ravuna was a Berkey. He was the safer in Malayas Bechateros. And he was the guy that they came to for all the shaylos, how to read in the Sedra and so on. And he said it's written with the extra vav. Zeru'el, Malya, which basically have a remnant here to review that sheet. Six different Zra'im.
What is the sense
of this?
We're looking for a
remnant. Looking for a remnant. In other words, we know that Midyaraita, we have a shear of Shisha that you have to be marked. We know that this is in a Yanika from a single vegetable. How is it that where do we get this idea? And we know that there's a concept of the Iruvia. Whatever is the Iruvia, I was like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was original Tivui. There wasn't any field, and it was an earth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the Minim shouldn't be Yaitu the Iruvia. So that then the Dishrayim Nasu Kavu Chayberbat, and we shouldn't be Yaitu the Iruvia. People will know us, and so on. So there's a concept of the Iruvia. What's the basis in the Torah for defining what's the maximum of that of the meaning that we can have in a certain space of Tanya? So we're looking for remnants in the Torah. So here we find the Torah talks about a Gina. In the Bav, we regard in each word, the Tosif, Kimcha, and Gina, and Zeru'el, and Tatsmiya. Right? But as everybody understands that here is a Pasuk that seems to be talking about the fertility of gardens. So here we're looking for our remnants. So what is Kaka, the Bokar of where we got this in five within six, but that's okay. And even beyond that, even though we can technically work it out, that it graphically looks okay, it's still considered to be a movie. Rabbi Yochanan b'shem Rabbi Yonah, he says, "Kulahom b'tol shisha." When we're talking about planting the five different things, we mean within the confines of the aruga, but not extending outward. Kahana b'shem Rabbi Shimon Marki says, "No." It's talking about in the Mishnah, kulhon chutz v'shisha. In other words, you can have one min in the middle, that takes up the middle of the aruga, and that min could be 3x3 even. So now you have a tefach mechza. That tefach mechza, every side of that 3x3 middle piece, is enough for the shear of our chok. Now beyond that, you can have another four minim on each side, which gives you sufficient our chok. So that according to him, this is what the aruga is looking like. The aruga in the middle, 3x3, leaving 1.5 tefach until your other meaning. Then 1.5 tefach between each meaning. You have like a shape of a gamma on each side. So you're covering now as much area as you can while leaving 1.5 tefach from everything. That way, and the aruga means around an aruga, the even aruga. Right?
Okay.
So that's how I hope. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, in Kulon Chutz Beshisha, Nisnekisha. And he said, if that's the case, why can't you get in nine different meanings, according to this? If you have that much space, you could simply put it like this picture. You're saying that all I'm concerned with is having my 1.5 spark. And I'm not confining these to the inside of the Ruga where I'll have an Erbuvia. So why can't I have 9 minutes? I have 3x3 in the middle. I have little smaller gamas at the corners. And I'm still leaving enough space in between that I could have another min between each gam. So how come I lost out on these min in here? It's just the Mishnah saying your maximum is 5, and according to this, we get these other 4. We should get 9 because we get another 4 in between the gamut.
Less space to
play in,
but more
minimum
altogether.
No, yeah, right. Yeah, that's of course true. In other words, but that seems to be what the whole point of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is maximizing minimum, not maximizing planting space. Obviously, the maximum planting space is one beautiful thing. Yeah. Right. And we're trying to see what is the maximum different minimum that we can fit in the same place. Om Ravi Tankum Botraya, Ravi Tankum from Botra said, Vekeni Ba'arugot, he must be said. It's true. In other words, technically speaking, if you have an aruga on its own in the middle of a kurva, so of course you could. You really could say 9. The Mishnah, it says 5, is referring to a case where you've got a whole bika of these arugos, and therefore you have to have them set up in such a way that they all leave room for each other. If they all leave room for each other, you have to stagger them. The parts that you thought were in the middle are indeed in the middle of the next aruga. Right? You can't have them in both. So in Hafinami, by staggering them so that each aruga gets its 5 minutes, you can now fit them in an interlocking fashion into each other. So the areas between the gamin are filled in by the pegs, so to speak, that are jutting out of the adjacent aruga. So every aruga gets indeed its 5 minutes, and you're even allowed to have arugas right up against the other aruga, and they all fit like a jigsaw puzzle. So there's some, every other one has the gams filled in, and every other one has the peg in between the gams. Is it? Yes, compacted, of course, is just showing you.
Yeah.
You need the 1.5. This way everybody's happy. No space. This is indicating just to
make it clear.
These three things, aren't they all?
No, there's 1.5 perfect between everything now.
Oh, they come together.
That's why you have to leave that space.
And how come
if you just had one out room, then you could leave it like this.
Why isn't the fifth in each one of them? That's just understood.
Don't take these pictures too seriously. So that's the chop. Now, the Mishnah is not trying to tell you how to maximize a single aruga. It's trying to tell you how to have a field of arugas. Rav Yitzchak and Rav Ami, show me where we're up to, by the way.
Huh?